Thank you, Mick, and may the Lord add his understanding to that word. Let us pray. And as we pray in the quietness, let us just bring before God any spiritual or emotional hunger and longing that we bring to church today. And in our hearts, just name that before God. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life and the bread of heaven, and you give living water. And we pray that as we receive your word and feed on bread and wine this morning, you will satisfy the hunger in our hearts with the fullness of your life and your love. Amen. The story is told of a nervous young minister who stood up at the front of church on his first Sunday. And looking out at the congregation, he was gripped with nerves as he began his sermon. And he began, "Today we will be thinking about how Jesus fed five people with 5,000 loaves of bread and 2,000 fish." Well, as we've done, a man in the congregation at the back sniggered and said, "Oh, well, that's not much of a trick, Reverend. I could do that myself." Well, the minister was very embarrassed. However, the next Sunday, he got himself together and he thought he'd try again, and he did it properly. Today, we'll be thinking about how Jesus fed 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. And smiling, the minister looked again to the man who'd heckled him at the back and said, "Well, Mr. Perkins, could you do that?" Well, the man was unfazed and he chirped back, "No problem." "Well, what do you mean?" said the exasperated minister. "How would you do it?" And Mr. Perkins beamed back and said, "Well, with all the bread and the fish that was left over from last Sunday." Well, that's one way of looking at it. And in our Bible reading, we saw two different ways of looking at a problem. Well, I say problem, it wasn't a problem to Jesus. It was just a lot of hungry individuals in great need. Bring them together, and it's a crowd of people. And we'll put a picture up on the screen, a painting by Bernadette de la Ronciere, a gospel perspective of this story from Cameroon. You see, the disciples wanted to send the crowd away. Get rid of the needy, and you get rid of the need. And sadly, as we think about the world today in our own country, that attitude can still exist in 2021. Get rid of the needy and you get rid of the need. Reduce the numbers and you reduce the need. But thankfully, our Lord Jesus Christ shows us a better way of responding with greater compassion and patience. And it begins with a startling order to his disciples. "You feed them. You feed them." "What?" they thought. "You must be joking. Think of the cost of buying bread for so many. We can't do it. We haven't got the resources." You see, they focused on what they didn't have. And that is so easy to do, isn't it, in life? focus on what you haven't got. But Jesus asked them to check their own provisions first and surrender them to him, however meager. And our friends, I think there's an important lesson for each one of us there. Don't ever you think, I haven't got much to offer. I haven't got enough for the need. Jesus can get by without my contribution. I'm only a small cog. He doesn't need what I have to offer. That's not what God thinks. That's not how God looks at us. Jesus welcomes us, and he welcomes our offering. Just what we bring. Don't despise your offering or yourself. Because, as we'll see, great miracles can happen with the smallest of offerings, the smallest of beginnings. So Jesus asked the disciples to give him what they had. And then Jesus asked the disciples for their help in organizing the crowd. And I'll say that again. Jesus asks the disciples for their help. The powerful Lord of all creation humbly asks his disciples for help. And we need to remember that, don't we? That although our Lord is the Lord of creation, the King of kings, the Son of God, he is also fully human, and he needed the help of his friends that day. So it's both unbelievable and very believable that Jesus could ask for help, because it rings true today. As we think about the church and as we think about the world, Jesus calls you and me to be his disciples, his witnesses, and invites us to participate in the work of God. It's humbling, but it emphasizes the truth that Jesus needs you and me more than we might think. He needs us. Don't think, well, he needed me yesterday or yesteryear. He needs you today. He needs you this week for some special purpose. So the crowd of 5,000 were organized into groups of hundreds and fifties, we are told, probably in rows. And that's actually the word that Mark uses. It's the picture of a vegetable garden being planted neatly in rows and squares. And that's how I imagine that crowd, all neatly in their rows. And this echoes a time in the Old Testament when Moses was overburdened by leading the Israelites, seemingly on his own. And his father-in-law, Jethro, had some wise advice. I read from Exodus chapter 18. When his father-in-law saw that Moses was doing so much for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for all the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father replied, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. And Moses successfully followed Jethro's advice. Delegation was the key. For Moses, for the feeding of the 5,000, and for the church of God today. No one should or can do it all alone, not even Jesus himself that day. Not one of us, and no Christian leader, has all the gifts or all the time to do the whole work of God. No one is a one-man band. And we've got a small video of a one-man band in action. So try to watch this without smiling. This is in Croatia.
A kotkom će priživjer pun svega mortadela i nutela.
A kotkom će priživjer pun svega mortadela i nutela. Oj, 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 njam, 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 njam.
You'll remember today's service for that, won't you? But when you remember it, when you get home, remember the lesson. No one can be a one-man band. It's entertaining, isn't it? But it's no model for ministry, or miracles for that matter. The work is too much for one to carry alone. And you remember, if you were here on September the 12th, I spoke about the body of Christ. That's the complete opposite of what we've just seen, the body of Christ, where everyone is needed and everyone has their part to play for it to function. Yes, we are his instruments, but no one can play them all or play them all at once. He was very talented, wasn't it? The sound was great, but very rare to be able to do that. And I think, you know, we'd be foolish. We'd be a bit of a clown like he was to try. But we know sometimes, and ministers, which, you know, sometimes we can be a bit like a clown, we do try to do too much, and we try to restrict and take everything rather than empower and release, to be self-sufficient. But we are not. We are the body of Christ, and he is the head, and we are his team. We are his team. And there's that great acronym for team. Together, everyone achieves more. T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more. Delegation serves God's mission. And at its best, organization feeds people like that crowd that we'll see on the screen again. At its best, organization feeds people and doesn't starve them. That was true on the hillside as the sun set and the crowd settled. All eyes were on Jesus as he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to his Father in heaven, gave thanks, not especially for the food, but gave thanks to his Father. Gave him thanks because it was his Father who was going to help with this miracle. He broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to feed the multitude. The miracle began to unfold. And the glory of Jesus and the glory of his compassion was seen. The crowd were fed. They were satisfied. And what's more, 12 basketfuls left over. You see, God not only provides, but he provides abundantly and extravagantly. And with God, nothing is wasted. So that food was gathered up into baskets, which I suspect led to the Earth's first food bank. I'm sure it was shared out. So in closing, what do we learn? Well, we've learned, haven't we, that we don't despise what God has given us to offer. It all comes from God. He's given it for us to give back to him, to place it into his hands. As a church, let's not see the need and panic, but see the Saviour and trust him to provide extravagantly. Not bemoan what we haven't got, but accept and value each offering. Not applaud any one-man band, but believe Jesus needs us all. And lastly, not to underestimate the power of organization, but welcome it as a tool for mission. To God's praise and glory, and the building up of his kingdom. Amen.